Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having a fantastic day today. It's actually sunny right now. It hasn't rained yet, but the chemtrails are at large over here in Central Florida, so I'm sure it will be raining here in the near future. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I am absolutely blessed, doing absolutely wonderful, because we have victory in Christ every single day, every single month, every single year, every single second. And that's why I am not going to be a Debbie Downer. I'm not going to do it. Because we have victory, and if it wasn't for me being a Christian, I don't know what I would say. But we got so many stories today. There was a young boy over in Texas the other night, and I don't know if you saw this or not, Austin. He was at a Whataburger, and he watched a video on TV. It's bad. I'm not going to play it on the air because the language is filthy, and some thug walks up to him, and just, he has a Make America Great hat again, and the thug walks up to him and grabs the hat off his head, yanks a bunch of hair out with it, takes the boy's soda. The kid's like 16 years old as a kid. Takes the whole soda and throws it in the boy's face. And the guy basically starts screaming epitaphs at him and walked out. And I thought, wow, that's just really crazy. Maxine Waters strikes again. And it was interesting because they got it on videotape, and the people there in Texas arrested him. He's been arrested. Good. And he's been charged with theft. Because he basically, and he also should be charged with assault on a minor. The kid's only 16 years old. And it's sad. I don't know if you saw that video or not, Austin. It's just, you know, there's no excuse for this. When you have these thugs, these hoodlums, these lowlife who want to pick on children, I can't believe this stuff happens, but it happens. And I'm really happy that the people there in Texas decided to crack down on this boy and put him in jail. And chances are he probably has a long criminal history, and chances are he'll probably be arrested, you know, and as for other crimes also, and chances are he's probably on probation on top of everything else. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, especially if they've got him on video and they get to show the video to the jury. What do you think, son?
These things are starting to happen more and more often now. I saw a list of now that InfoWars compiled, another individual basically from another website that I looked at, Breitbart. They put together a list of over 133 attacks directly on Trump supporters. It's basically showing us that it's starting to escalate more and more. It's another article, since we're on this topic right now, from a Florida man who said he was punched in the face and dragged 30 feet with his arm trapped in a car by a man who was angry over the fact that he had a Trump flag in his front yard. The incident occurred in Boynton Beach, which is about 2 hours from here, on July 4th, as Jeff Good watched fireworks display from his driveway at around 9:30 at night. A lot of us did that around here from your property. Watch the fireworks, come back inside when you're done. An older man, supposedly with gray hair and a female companion, drove up in a silver vehicle and began yelling about President Trump and demanding that Good remove the Trump flag from his yard. Good apparently walked over to the vehicle and began to basically argue with the man. The man in the vehicle then punched Good in the face. Good tried to punch back, but the man immediately drove off with Good's arm still trapped in the car. Good was dragged about 25 to 30 feet before he fell off the door and basically bruised himself up, cut himself up a lot. And the Boynton Beach police are saying anyone with information about the incident to come forward. The car is a small two-door silver model. Incident is just another example of the physical abuse and harassment that Trump supporters have faced, as Dad was just talking about here. Now, one thing I'm gonna add on to this real quick, because when situations like this occur, I've seen a lot of this stuff down here in Florida. I've got a lot of friends in law enforcement. I've witnessed a lot of stuff like this. And a couple tips that I want to point out on what just happened in this situation. First off, if you are on your property, never approach anyone's car that is in the road closely. And I mean that very directly. Do not leave your property to go get in a verbal altercation with somebody that's parked in the road. Reason being, there's no reason to leave your property. You have a position of strength when you're in your property. And secondly, when you walk out into the road, you are now engaging that individual on a public thoroughfare, a public road. And so when something like this happens, it's a mixed issue. Always stay at least 3 to 4 arm lengths away from a vehicle that you're talking to, especially if it's an altercation. Only approach a vehicle this closely is if you are basically, they're in your driveway, they're on your property, you're trying to figure out what's going on, and you're prepared prepared to handle the situation. When you step up to somebody's vehicle like this, your point of reaction is significantly compromised. They can have a sawed-off shotgun or they can have a pistol right behind the door sill with their finger on the trigger, and the closer you get to them, the less they have to aim, or they can simply punch you like they did Mr. Good, and you're too close to avoid it. Then you try to retaliate, and they drive off when you put your arm in the car, and then drag you. It's an extremely dumb move on Mr. Good's part on this whole situation. Also, too, you got to think about this. If you approach a vehicle that's in the road like this, especially if it's a pickup truck, something that's slightly taller, like, say, F-250, someone could be in the back passenger seat. They could jump out of the vehicle, flank you from the side while your peripheral vision is focused on the driver and the argument. At the same time, the driver goes to engage you, and now you have two people that literally engage you within a few feet, making it virtually impossible to defend yourself, and you're no longer on your property anymore. Never leave the edge of your property in a situation like this unless it's absolutely necessary that you have to get involved in something. In most states, your right to self-defense is greatly strengthened when you're on your property, especially if you end up having to draw a firearm. That's most, in a lot of states, if you're on your property and somebody comes into your property trying to do you harm and you draw your firearm, in a lot of states, you can check your law, but in a lot of states, you have a lot of leeway with that. So make it so if somebody is trying to get in an altercation with you, make it so they have to leave their vehicle and engage you on your own property. So if Mr. Good would have been standing on the edge of his property and been arguing with this guy, you know, 10, 15 feet away, it would have been a much better situation because, A, he would have gotten punched in the face. B, he would have tried to punch back and gotten drugged down the road. And plus, you got to think about this, too. What happens if a situation like this ends up going to court? What sounds better from the defense standpoint? Pretty much how it went down. Mr. Good approached the vehicle in the middle of the road and began to verbally assault, say, Bob, who was in his car. Bob felt threatened and punched Mr. Good right before he drove off in fear of his life. Okay, that's the way you can spin it. Or Bob stopped his car in the road, impeding traffic, got out of his vehicle to initiate a confrontation with Mr. Good and began to exchange words before punching Mr. Good in the face on Mr. Good's own property. Mr. Good then returned punches, defending himself on his property. Sounds a lot better from a defense standpoint. Just giving you guys some advice on this. So if you have something like this happen, because this is starting to happen more and more regularly, and you're on your property, and somebody starts to verbally assault you, if you want to argue with them, whatever, but make sure you have the ability to defend yourself appropriately, and you stay on your property unless absolutely necessary to leave, because Mr. Good put himself in harm's way, and honestly, with the situation that happened, they would be very, very hard to actually bring charges and actually get convicted of the individual in the car, because Mr. Good engaged him in the road, and then when he was punched, he retaliated while the individual was trying to flee for his life. So what the defense would argue on that. So just a couple quick tips on this, because I see this happen a lot, and this is something that's very common, and just wanted to kind of add on some things on that, Deb.
Okay, since we're on this topic, let me do one more. There was a guy that I knew, his cousin was basically a redneck lowlife. Okay, just a fact. And back in the 70s, there was a place called Top Hat Liquor. And back in the 70s, remember, when you were 18 years old, you could be in a bar and you could drink, because they had changed the law because they were drafting kids that were 18. And they said, it's ridiculous that we can't go get a beer and we're 18, 19 years old when you can draft us and send us to Vietnam to die. So they changed the law to 18 to drink. And it should be 21, period. The 18-year-old shouldn't be out drinking and boozing it up, period. And what was interesting about this is he went inside a bar with his girlfriend. This redneck lowlife kid basically said something to his girlfriend. Escalation started. The redneck lowlife kid basically punched the guy, beat him half to death on the floor. Beat him half to death right in front of his girlfriend. Guy didn't do anything. It's because the redneck lowlife kid just wanted to start a fight. And so the kid went home. This is an interesting story. This kid went home with his girlfriend, took her home, came back. But this time he came back in his pickup truck and he had a 12-gauge shotgun with him. And the redneck lowlife kid saw the kid sitting in the parking lot minding his own business and decided to go beat him up again. And basically he ran to the truck, the redneck lowlife kid, and the kid rolled the window down. The guy starts screaming and cussing, and the guy drops a 12-gauge right in front of him. The redneck lowlife kid, not being impeded by this 12-gauge, grabs the gun and pulls it forward, and when doing so, caused an accidental discharge, which blew a hole in his chest the size of a softball through his heart. So the redneck lowlife kid was dead. Now you think, how'd that happen? Well, a lot of things happen in bars, guys, and in parking lots. And the kid was not charged who shot the other kid. because the other kid is the one who pulled on the gun. Me personally, I was a bouncer in a bar, 20 years old. I was home from college for the one semester that I didn't basically stay at Florida State, and you'll understand why I never came home after this. And I was working as a bouncer, and I had to go outside on our property and ended up basically having a shotgun dropped in my stomach because I approached the car. And needless to say, I'm still here because of the grace of God and God alone. And I tell you what, guys, that'll get your attention. When you have a 12 gauge stuck in your gut, it really has a tendency to wake you up quick, especially when the figure of the guy who's stoned or drunk on the other end is on the trigger. So guys, don't do that. Don't just stay out of parking lots. Parking lots are dangerous places to go. If someone decides they're going to escalate something with you, allow the escalation to occur where you are seated. Don't do it. If it's in a restaurant, don't go out of the parking lot. Chances are, if they don't have a weapon, if they meet you out of the parking lot, they're going to get a weapon out of their car. You know, if do it in a situation, don't go to the crime scene number two. If they're going to assault you, let them assault you in a restaurant where you have witnesses everywhere rather than in a deserted parking lot. Just some newsflash, just a little bit of common sense there for you guys that I learned the really, really, really hard way. By the way, two Maryland hospitals have been evacuated after a tube of tuberculosis was opened in a hallway, possibly exposing scores of patients to tuberculosis. A tube of frozen tuberculosis was being transported from one building at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore to another through a bridge that connects both of them. The person who was basically pushing this cart dropped a tube and it opened, exposing the people to the disease. Teams arrived in hazmat gear to inspect the bridge between the two centers. Guys, this is nuts. First of all, you know, you got to ask yourself a question. What in the world are they doing with a tube of tuberculosis? Let's be real here, okay? Why in the world is this tube of tuberculosis at Johns Hopkins and not at, you know, Fort Detrick, you know, in the underground testing facility? So in case some person drops the tube, the whole hospital's not contaminated with tuberculosis. Just a thought I thought I'd throw at you guys today. I mean, think through this for a second. I mean, what are they going to... Oh, we've got a tube of Ebola here, now we're going to drop that one next week. And we got some anthrax, we're going to drop some of that. Are you kidding me? What in the world are they doing? Where are their safety protocols? Why aren't these safety protocols being implemented? And why does anybody out there think any of this is okay? And why hasn't someone's head been put on a platter metaphorically because of this? And why have they not looked at what's going on with these guys? Guys, this is really, really a big deal. We can't be having things like tuberculosis or the plague released in the general population because somebody's running around with a tube of it. Were they having it in their t-shirt? Are they walking around holding on to it? Did somebody bump into the cart? I mean, come on, guys, really? These are top level quarantine products that need to be basically kept in top level quarantine facilities like Fort Detrick. By the way, our unemployment rate is like the lowest it's ever been now, according to the studies. Hundreds of millions of people are apparently at work right now in the United States. In fact, the record right now is 155 million people on the books. So that's why I say a couple hundred million, because there's a lot of people off the books that are basically coming here from other countries. In June, it's the 10th record for Trump. Our economic policy can be summed up in three very simple but beautiful words. President Donald Trump told the rally in Montana Thursday, jobs, jobs, and jobs. And, of course, the Democrats blast this. These guys are like Debbie Downer doomsdayers. It's awful. Democrats blast booming jobs report. Trump worker agenda is reckless. Democrats saw nothing positive in new job reports. Instead, the Democratic Party issued a statement criticizing President Trump's jobs agenda as reckless. This is Nancy Pelosi, the mummy. She goes, this shows what's at stake from the brewing storm of rising health costs, spiraling trade uncertainty, and an economy being allowed to enrich big corporations and the wealthiest 1%. America deserves better than the GOP's raw deal. Everybody's working, everybody's prospering, everybody's making money, and the Democrats are angry because they know they're about to get shellacked in the midterm elections. They're about to take a bloodletting of unprecedented proportions, and they know that. And they know if Trump keeps doing this, hopefully for the next 2 years, he'll be reelected in another landslide. They got all that. Now, John McCain, when I told you the other day, tentatively, I told you on the 4th, that John, or I think maybe on the 3rd, that John McCain his aide has said that he's planning on resigning. Of course, John McCain hasn't resigned yet. Now, what's interesting about this, I got to give you, because I told you that I didn't know if that was going to happen or not when I gave that, when I issued that report. But here's the thing that you got to think through with John McCain. John McCain is a globalist. He is a Hillary Clinton supporter. He backed Hillary in the last election. He backed Obamacare. He intentionally, in my opinion, threw the election in 2008, putting Obama into office, because if he had turned Sarah Palin loose, who is an incredible speaker, by the way, whether you like her or not, the woman can speak. She can hold a crowd. She's very, very good as a speaker. She said, if you turn me loose, basically, I'll win this election for us. He wouldn't do it because he wasn't supposed to win. Obama was supposed to go into the White House. Now, what's interesting about all of this, McCain and Donald Trump literally loathe each other. McCain is the reason we still have the Obamacare. That's the reason we have it, period. That's it. And here's the thing. McCain now has shown that he is a liberal, period. That's what he is. He's a lowlife. His entire career has been a fraud. Ever since he almost sank the USS Forrestal and killed all those troopers doing a wet start on his jet engine. Yeah, you guys haven't heard that one before. You need to look that one up. And the thing about this is, the guy, he would sink a Supreme Court justice nomination if he could, just to get at Trump before he's on his grease track to hell. And I'm saying he's fixing to die. He's on his grease track to hell. If that boy doesn't repent and get saved quickly, he's going to make a giant splash in the doggone lava down in the lake of fire. I mean, this is a mess that is unprecedented. This guy has not stepped out now and walked away to allow somebody else to be appointed, to allow somebody else to vote yay on this Democrat, on Trump's judgeship. The person who is leading the judge, there's like four people right now. Brett Kavanaugh supposedly is the one who's leading right now. He's an American judge. He's a United States Circuit Court judge of the United States Appeals, District of Appeals and District Courts of Columbia Circuit. He played a lead role in drafting the Starr Report, which urged the impeachment of President Bill Clinton. On June 27, 2018, Justice Anthony Kennedy announced his retirement, and Kavanaugh is seen as a front runner for his appointment to fill that vacancy. Now, there's several other people, but right now, it looks like this guy has made the short list. He's 53 years old. He'll be on the court for at least another 30 years. So even after Trump's long gone and dead, his influence will still be felt on the Supreme Court. I've read a lot about this guy. I can't find anything I don't like about this guy. So we'll see what happens, and we'll see who he appoints, and we hope and pray that it will get through the Senate, and we hope and pray that Ginsburg and all the other people and Sotomayor and all these weirdos in there will also retire. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, that's definitely pretty good. Any of our listeners, you know, this top pick right now, if you know anything or have seen anything that's actually legitimate, let us know if it's something that basically we may not agree with, because I'm curious with that. I'd really like to see if this guy really is solid. I mean, that'd be good. We got it. We have to get somebody in the Supreme Court that is going to be able to turn it in the right direction, especially right now with the gun rights, especially with the abortion, especially with all these different topics that are very big hot buttons right now. We have to have a good, staunch, constitutional patriot in that seat. Also, too, in other news, I saw this morning. It's pretty wild. As trade war pretty much began this morning, supposedly, as the U.S. and China exchange almost $40 billion in tariffs, Donald Trump's tariffs on $34 billion worth of Chinese goods kicked in this morning, escalating a war of words between the world's two largest economies into a full-blown trade conflict. The 25% duties went into effect at midnight and affected products such as water boilers, x-ray machines, airplane tires, and various other industrial parts. China immediately retaliated with tariffs on its $34 billion of list of goods, including soybeans, pork, and electric vehicles. Beijing's calling it the biggest trade war in economic history. The irony about all this to me is that China has benefited literally so heavily over the last 15 years from our trade policies with them that it's almost mind-boggling. If you guys have ever stopped to look at the numbers on the tariffs that they charge us and the fees that they charge us and how a company in China can never have a sole or a ownership of an American over 51%. I mean, all these restrictions over there that have completely and totally limited our ability ability to have a fair trade with one another has been out of control. And now we're actually coming in and saying this is not going to work anymore. We cannot continue to have almost a $400 billion trade deficit every year with the second largest country in the world as far as with trade. And now they're absolutely pitching a fit about it. And this is something that we knew was probably going to happen. The issue is we capitulated to China. We completely submitted to China, especially under Bush and Obama. And we've allowed these guys to get extremely large now, to grow their economy massively of what it was over 20 years ago. And now they're so big for their britches, they're going to start a trade war with us simply because we want to have some fair tariffs, because they're literally paying next to nothing to bring products into the United States. So much, guys, you need to do your research on this if you don't know this. The United States Postal Service subsidizes small packages coming out of China. If you've ever looked before and wondered why, if you go on eBay and you'll see stuff that comes directly out of China, how it'll be like a small part, you know, something that's like 6, 7, 8 ounces. It'll ship for like $1.20, and you'll show up on the package. I've seen this before in photos. It'll show up on the package. It was $1.20 USD currency they paid to ship this parcel from China all the way to the United States. If I ship you guys a priority mail padded flat rate envelope from Florida to Texas, it costs me almost $7. $7 from Florida to Texas. Yet these guys are shipping stuff from China to the United States for $1.20. It boggled my mind. I could never understand it. I can't understand it. It didn't make sense to me. Well, I finally, during my research, I found out that the United States government, through the Postal Service, actually subsidizes and pays for a huge percentage of these packages out of our USPS budget, so we make it cheaper for them to ship their stuff to the United States. This is mind-blowing to me, and I've never understood why this was even an option for us to offer, yet it still continues to go on to this day. So for China to be getting their little boxers in a wad over there and pitching a big fit and slapping tariffs on soybeans and pork and electric vehicles, which, goodness, I have to say, we don't eat GMO soybeans. I hope none of our listeners do either. I don't eat pork. I know our family doesn't. I hope none of our listeners do either. And I don't drive electric vehicles simply because, well, I'm not going to make any jokes on that. I'll leave it at that. But so these aren't things that are going to significantly affect us right now. However, they are going to escalate if this continues to go on, and we're going to start seeing some incredibly expensive prices go through the roof by the end of the year if this trade war starts to escalate, Ed.
Well, what we've done, and I'm just going to be real brief because there's too many stories to cover today, we've extracted the wealth from our industrial sector throughout the world now with all of these imports we've allowed to come in. We've allowed China basically to pull hundreds of trillions, literally trillions, trillions of dollars of wealth from the United States with this trade surplus that we have with them, deficit that we have. They have a surplus with us. This massive amount of money has gone overseas because of this. And the way we've been able to do that is we continue to borrow more and more money, and all from the Fed, and our money, our dollars, then go over to China, get stuck in their banks, and then they don't get released into the M1 money supply. And so it's a big mess because it doesn't allow the circulation of the money. It doesn't allow that anymore. There's a term for that also in the MBA program. What's it called? The velocity of money basically stops because it gets stuck in their accounts. So I agree with you. We should have never. See, Clinton's the one who started this mess with China with the most favored status and all that other nonsense, giving them our silent shaft technology through whatever he did, and our weapons chips for the ICBMs. All that technology came from Bill Clinton. That's why when that guy said the other day that Clinton should get a pass on this, absolutely not. By the way, EPA Chief Scott Pruitt is resigning, citing unrelenting personal attacks on him and his family. This EPA chief, he was former Attorney General of Oklahoma, who sued the EPA at least 14 times for their activistic agenda. He rolled back multiple Obama-era climate policies since leading the EPA, which is good. He's now resigned, citing personal attacks. Pruitt was harassed just a few days ago in a D.C. restaurant. He has faced death threats and has been demonized in the media and is the subject of 19 official investigations. Wow. Pruitt was involved in multiple scandals regarding spending taxpayer money for travel and security, his close relationships with lobbyists and the industry, allegations he used government resources to staff for personal gain. This guy, okay, This guy was an idiot. I'm sorry. I like some of the stuff he did, but I've read a list of the stuff he's being charged with and being investigated for. Some of the stuff was just reckless behavior and reckless spending. I guess he was thinking because of what he was doing and working with Trump that nobody was going to notice. I mean, like, he got a little soundproof booth that he spent $40,000, and then we could hear him on his personal cell phone or his cell phone calls. What are we playing? Get smart here back in the 60s, and we got an agent, we got a soundproof dome that's going to come up. What is this nonsense, okay? All he had to do is close the stupid door. You don't have a soundproof booth. Are you joking me? If you're concerned that your office is being bugged, have a team come in and sweep it. Just sweep it. Make sure there's no bugs in there. I mean, this is absolutely insane that this guy was there, though I like some of the stuff he did as far as cutting a bunch of this junk that they were doing. And I'm going to say this. The EPA is completely and totally out of control in the United States. They have to be reined back in. Trump is doing that. I just hope that we can keep Trump for six more years. By the way, only two-thirds of Generation Z identify as exclusively heterosexual. Apparently, they have done it, Austin. They have now got two-thirds of the population thinking they're okay, and the other third confused as far as gender identity. In fact, this article says, it goes on to say, homosexuality is no longer the taboo it once was because of the new norms and the things that have been set up here in the United States and the way this has been pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed on us. And the sad part about it is, guys, these young kids, they have no idea what they're talking about. But the research by Ipsos Mori found that 66% of the people, young people, aged 16 to 22, are exclusively heterosexual. This is 16 to 22, the lowest figure of any generation. Among millennials, 71% they are exclusively heterosexual, as do 85% of those in Generation X and 88% of the baby boomers. Now, quite frankly, I think those numbers are skewed pretty high. I know the baby boomer generation, and there is no way that 12% of the baby boomers are gay. That's just not even true. It's not going to happen. That's not even real. It's 1% or 2% max. And so I found this is interesting. Now, whether this information is correct, I'd like to see how they do the study. But the sad part about it is this made news. And, Austin, this is what they wanted, as it was in the days of Noah. Every thought shall be evil all of the time. Sad. What do you think, bud?
It is, and the problem that we've seen happen here, and is really aggressively over the last 10 years, because I've watched it personally, is that this is the new normal. As you and I were talking about earlier today, the line between, you know, homosexual behavior and heterosexual behavior has almost been blurred now with this generation. There's no, not all the time, but it's much harder to find very distinct heterosexual males in this younger generation. You see a lot of them who you'll see them and you'll go, well, they kind of act gay, but he's got a girlfriend, but he acts kind of really feminine with his mannerisms, but I don't know. And even a lot of my generation, you've seen that some now too, is it's really progressed. And, you know, it used to be basically called, you know, they were metro. You know, they were completely straight, but, you know, they had this kind of, you know, feminism to them. And now it's kind of gone this route where they don't even want to be heterosexual. A lot of them just say they're bi now. And I've heard that a lot lately, which is, it's still that, I can't understand that concept, how you can be a guy and be like, well, I'm bisexual. Listen, if you like doing stuff with other men and you're a guy, even if it's on a rare occasion, you're gay. I'm sorry. That's just flat out. If that's what you want to do, it's your own agenda. You can live your life. I'm not going to demonize you for it, but don't sit there and try to come up with some garbage and say, well, I'm bisexual. Sometimes I like girls. Sometimes I like guys. No, you're gay. Just accept it for what it is. And that's the issue that we've seen now with this generation, where it's almost a taboo to say you're heterosexual. It almost has flipped that way now, Dad. I've watched this, because now it's like if you say you're heterosexual, they go, oh, you're one of those. I'm one of those. What does that even mean? What do you mean? Yes, I am one of those. What kind of derogatory comment was that? And that's how it's made now. So now it's like the lines continue to shift more and more in the middle, where the generation has gotten to this point where they're kind of like, they swing both ways. Even if they don't prefer that, or they don't do that, or they don't even engage in that, their mannerisms and their activity and their behavior and the way they carry themselves has shifted very far in the middle to become a neutral, so they do not get classified as a heterosexual anymore, so they can fit in better with this new generation because it's almost ostracized and demonized to be a strong heterosexual alpha male now in almost every aspect of college, which is where Generation X or Z or whatever that was earlier. His dad said it's like, no, Generation X is where at, up to 22, you know, from here to 22. They're right in that college realm now, and they don't want to be belittled or outcasted for being a heterosexual, so it's easier to swing it in the middle and kind of make people confused on what you are, and then everybody's okay. I guess everybody gets along at that point. I don't really know. I'm not in college anymore, so I'm not that active in this area, but that's what I've seen now, that it's a very, very strange time we're living in.
And I'm sorry I'm laughing, guys. I mean, you obviously made me fun. I'm sure our audience is rolling on the floor right now. I mean, here's the thing, guys. I can't go there. I'm not gonna go there. I'm 62 years old. My whole generation doesn't look at the whole thing the same way. I'm not gonna push all that on you guys today, how I see it all. But anyhow, okay, let's do another show. I got another thing. I gotta stop here, okay. European Parliament rejects the controversial new copyright rules. This is good. This is the internet copyright.
Good,
they rejected it. The European Parliament has voted against controversial new copyright laws that could ban memes or remixes that spread across the internet. Guys, if that had happened, that would have been a nightmare.
The new laws
force tech companies to scan through everything their users post and check whether it contains any copyrighted material. And if it does have copyrighted material, it must be removed ASAP. A link tax would force tech companies like Google and Facebook to pay to use snippets of content on their sites. The new rules will be set for full reconsideration and debate. The sad part about all of this stuff, guys, is this. You know, the Democrats are basically upset because we have free speech. They really are. I mean, free speech means free internet, even if the Democrats don't like it. Now, the sad part about all of this to me was at one time the Democrats were the ones who wanted the free speech. I mean, the ACLU, when it first came out, they wanted free speech for everybody, free speech. And they defended both right and left causes for free speech. But now they're not like that anymore. They don't like free speech because it talks about how stupid they are. That's just the bottom line. This is an article from The Hill. It says, the Federal Election Commission recently held 2 days of hearings on proposed new internet regulations, while the hysterical media has basically written up a new red scare. The FEC's proposal will do nothing to stop bad actors, but will undermine our First Amendment rights to online political speech. Guys, because the reason they don't want political speech is they don't have a platform anymore. The Democrats, the liberals, you don't have to say Democrats, you just say the liberals. The liberal, the Communist Party of the United States, they don't have a platform that works. And so they're absolutely flipping out because they don't have a platform. And therefore, they have to say, everybody's a Nazi! There are Nazis everywhere! There's a Nazi on every rock! What are you, nuts? No Nazis? No one alive today, if you're 80 or 90 years old, was ever a Nazi. And probably not in this country. Now, you may have Nazi ties or have known people who were Nazis or whatever, but you weren't a Nazi. And so quite frankly, it's nonsense to me that they want to make everything a Nazi or everything a fascist. I mean, it's ridiculous, Austin. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of things I don't like on the internet as far as decency things, like pornography. It needs to be completely taken off the internet and banned. And pornographers, because of the decency laws that are on the books still, should be arrested and put into jail for basically the corruption of the hearts and the minds and the souls and the spirits and everything of the youngsters and the people in the United States today because of the internet porn. Those guys need to come off the internet, period. The problem is when the internet first got started, is what these people tell us, is the only reason it even made money or was even viable was because of the internet pornography. Now, whether that's true or not, I have no idea. But the point is this. It doesn't need porn anymore. It needs to go away. All that stuff needs to be pulled off. It really, really does, because it has done nothing but confuse all of these kids that have been raised with smartphones, Austin, and all the garbage they've watched online and all of the stuff they've confused their minds and their genders with. It's just sad, Austin. What do you think? What's your next story?
It really is. It really has gotten sad. Here's an article that I thought was pretty cool. This just was actually published a couple weeks ago. This is about vitamin D, and the title's Vitamin D, a breast cancer study published in the Open Access Journal. This is a full-blown this is from June 15th, 2018. So yeah, it was like 3 weeks ago. It goes beyond anecdotal experiences or theories that indicate vitamin D offers immune-boosting protection against diseases, cold, flus, whatever, and actually discusses, through Dr. Ray Chelan, the effects of vitamin D on breast cancer. Now, this is what their research says. This is nothing to do with me. This is what their research, the study focused on breast cancer, and the bulk of it focused on the serum levels of vitamin D. So what's interesting about this, they go on, as you guys know, the many biological functions of vitamin D are just throughout the body. It's a very important vitamin. As a recent study, it was designed to analyze a large number of women over the age of 55 from different cohort pools over a four-year period to compare the different rates of breast cancer diagnosis according to the serum levels of vitamin D. The published study's authors' reason for this study was to determine if a considerably higher vitamin D blood level than earlier standards, which only was preventing rickets, would actually enhance the protection of the body. Their analysis included two cohorts of women over 55 on double-blind randomized clinical trials using placebos versus vitamin D and calcium supplements. Both cohorts were from a 9-county area in eastern Nebraska. One began in 2007, the other started in 2017. These are very random trials. A third cohort came in from an international survey of female volunteers, also over 55, mostly from the USA and Canada, and submitted blood spots for vitamin D level analysis with complete questionnaires. The total number of subjects was over 5,000 individuals for this study, and they were all cancer-free at baseline in 10 years prior. Now, the two Nebraska groups were followed for 4 years, and during the four-year observational period, 77 of them were diagnosed with breast cancer. The third group was followed for 2 years. The two vitamin D serum levels subject to comparison were the normal level mainstream medicine traditionally used at 20 nanograms per milliliter. When you go to a doctor and you want to see what your vitamin D levels are, that is usually the level you need to be higher than, 20 nanograms per milliliter higher, which is actually a very, very low level. The second compare group was serums at or higher than 60 nanograms per milliliter. All three group analyzed showed definitive correlation of around 80% lower risk of breast cancer at 60 nanograms of milliliters or higher blood levels of vitamin D than the 20 milligram per milliliter or below levels. So what they showed here in these numbers, you can read through a lot of this online. This is a long study. I don't want to go through the whole thing today, on what the effects were and how literally when the blood levels were over 60 nanograms per milliliter in these females, the process and the chances of them getting cancer, according to the study, was almost next to impossible. You can read that, and it's crazy in here. The claims that vitamin D is a hormone or pro-hormone are technically inaccurate. It's actually a pre-hormone that activates and helps create other hormones vital for optimal metabolic functioning. Now, they said here the two bases of vitamin D are either vitamin D2, which is ergocalciferol, which is basically a pharmaceutical synthetic vitamin D, or cholecalciferol, which is vitamin D, which is a much more natural, more effective, and safer version. The version of D3 that we use, the cholecalciferol, is usually extracted from sheared sheep's wool as lanolin. The human body is very familiar with this level of vitamin D, as it is the same as the beginning stage of processing vitamin D from the sun's UV rays. So vitamin D has a host of different things, but it is so important for overall health, as you see here in women's health and long-term health here, and that's why we have two different options with vitamin D. We have the 5,000 IU vitamin D, and we also have the 10,000 IU vitamin D with K2, which is what Lana normally takes on a regular basis. And it was interesting because when she was pregnant, they did random vitamin D tests on here on a regular basis to see what her levels are at, and we literally continued to up her dosage because it was one of the first times that I've had the ability to watch a female's blood levels of vitamin D be checked literally on a monthly level. They check them every 4 weeks at the midwife. So I could watch her blood levels continually go up higher and higher and higher to the point that we wanted them to with the vitamin D. And when she was pregnant, this is her specifically, we literally were pushing up to 30,000 IUs of vitamin D daily to get her around the 50 to 60 nanograms per milliliter on her blood test. That's how much vitamin D the body was using, and that's how much the baby was taking out of her body, that we were having to give her that much every single day to get her blood levels in the very, very healthy range here that they found in this study, Dad.
Well, I had mine tested the other day. It was 63, and that's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it's perfect. And now what I did is I loaded up my D3, And, you know, for, you know, I was taking like one a day for like a few months, and then I shifted it down to like, I take the 10,000 plus the K, and I basically do it like one to two times a week, sometimes three times a week, every other day I take it. So our pills are so high, and they're tiny. You don't need to take that much. I mean, they're very, very small. Now, since we're talking about nutrition, I want to cover about coconut oil for a second. I've been getting a lot of questions in, because I use that MCT oil, coconut oil, that we have at the office every day, because it burns belly fat like it's like butter in a microwave. It's unbelievable what it does, and you don't have to change your diet. You know, we have people who are giving us testimonies from all over the country now what this stuff has been doing, and with me personally. And now people are saying, will it raise your saturated fat? Will the saturated fat from the coconut oil raise cholesterol levels, the LDL levels? Let me give you a little bit of information on that real quick. Cell membranes in your body require 50% saturated fats to be waterproofed and function properly, number one. Number two, the heart prefers saturated long-chain 16-carbon stearic acid over carbohydrates for energy. Bones need saturated fats to assimilate calcium effectively. The liver, to protect it from adverse effects of alcohol and medications like acetaminophen, need fat. The lungs, lung surfactant, which prevents asthma and other breathing disorders, composed entirely of 16C palmitic acid, which is saturated fat. Hormones, they function as a signaling messenger for hormone production, have to have saturated fat. The immune system, absolutely critical. And then this goes on and on. Now, this article went on to say, and it did a whole thing, and it said why saturated fat cannot raise the LDL levels from coconut oil. And they've got a bunch of really interesting, I'm not going to read you the article, it's too long. It says, in the adult man, the serum cholesterol level is essentially independent of cholesterol intake over the whole range of human diets. Number two, there's no connection whatsoever between cholesterol and food and cholesterol in the body. Our body produces huge amounts of cholesterol, much more than we consume. Cholesterol in the diet doesn't matter at all unless you happen to be a chicken or a rabbit, then it's not healthy for you. Cholesterol is not considered a nutrient of concern for overconsumption. Nutrition experts like Dr. Walter W.C. Willett, chair of the Department of Nutrition at Harvard School of Public Health, called the plan a reasonable move. Dr. Stephen Neeson, chair of cardiovascular medicine at Cleveland Clinic, told USA Today, it's the right decision. We got the dietary guidelines wrong. Do you hear that? They are admitting now they got the dietary guidelines wrong with cholesterol. Now, in a meta-analysis of over 60 trials, higher intakes of saturated fat were associated with both increases in both LDL and HDLs and decrease in triglycerides for a net neutral effect on the ratio. Although saturated fats can increase the LDL, they reduce the LDL particular particle number. In other words, it makes it healthier. And so this study goes on to say, for the experiment, the team recruited nearly 100 volunteers, all aged over 50. They were split into three groups, and every day for 4 weeks, they ate 50 grams of coconut oil, about two tablespoons, that's what I take every day, or 50 grams of olive oil, and on that unsaturated fat already known to lower the bad HDL, the LDL cholesterol. And so what they found was, guys, these guys just got healthier. And he said, even more surprisingly, while butter and the olive oil both raised the good HDL cholesterol by 5%, coconut oil raised it by a staggering 15%, meaning that it seemed to have a more positive effect on cholesterol than even olive oil. So I want to share that with you guys today, because so many of you guys have called me up and said, hey, what about this MCT coconut oil? Can I get too much of it? Apparently not. I take about a tablespoon, two tablespoons a day. I put it in my protein shake first thing in the morning. You don't even taste it, by the way. And it's a phenomenal product. And I tell you what, I noticed it after about a month. It took about a month, because you start getting fat around your gut when you're, well, it's what happens when you're not on this clean diet all the time. Though I don't eat junk, I don't watch my caloric intake like I need to sometimes. And my stomach, my waistline started going down right there, with, you know, where you got your love handles and your gut. Just started going down, started dipping in. And I thought, this is crazy. I'm not even changing my diet. And it did it. And then I had my blood tested, and not only did it elevate my good cholesterol, it shot my testosterone up to almost 600. And I thought, wow, this is okay. I'm starting to really like this stuff. So now I make sure also I never miss it in a shake. So it's a phenomenal product. And yes, I do recommend it for both men and women. What do you think, bud?
Yo, it's phenomenal. And I mean, one thing that you can also do with it too, and I've done this a lot, is making a Fit Food chocolate protein shake with a tablespoon of coconut oil in it too, about 30 minutes to an hour before you work out, especially if you're dieting and you're eating more of a healthier, higher fat, healthy diet with a good protein diet and cutting back on a lot of the carbohydrates. Because what happens is MCT oil is used for fuel. It's great fuel for the body. You actually pick up energy on it when you start using it. You'll notice that. And so you can do that with a small shake with the coconut MCT oil. And with one tablespoon and the Fit Food, you'll only be pushing about 280 to 300 calories for the shake, which is perfect because it'll hold you over, but it'll also give you very good fats and proteins to work out on. It'll keep your appetite pushed down so you don't get hungry during a workout. One thing you always want to make sure you're doing if you're exercising, you never want to have a rumbling stomach and you're just ravenously hungry while you're working out. That's not a good place to be in, because what's happened is you're not eating the correct foods and you're not timing your food correctly either. When you're working out, you don't necessarily want to be bloated and have a huge belly full with a giant meal, but you don't also want to be on a 3-4-5 hour fast from your last meal, because your body's amino acids, its proteins, its fats, everything's basically through the floor what it has for fuel in your actual stomach that's converting. So you don't have anything left in your gut, so you're empty. You're running on an empty tank, and it's not healthy. That's why a lot of times I don't eat a meal right before I work out. I'll drink a protein shake with MCT oil in it about 30 minutes before I work out. When I work out, I have plenty of fuel in me. I have good energy. I still have protein from the whey. And then when I turn around after the workout, I'll either make the same shake again, or I'll go ahead and make dinner depending on what time it is. And we'll have, you know, like chicken and green beans with a little bit of brown rice or something like that. But that's another thing you can do with it, is a really good tool. Because what you'll notice is if you drink Fit Food just by itself, it'll help definitely kick off the appetite. But if you're already on a caloric deficit diet and you're already not eating enough fats like you should be, you'll get hungry real fast. What the fat does in the MCT oil is it slows down the digestion of everything that's in your stomach. So it allows you to use those nutrients longer and prevents you from getting hungrier in such a short span. That's why it's so important to have your fats very high, healthy fats, I should say, whenever you're eating a lot like that, as far as very clean. Also, two other news, another reason why you should stay healthy and stay off pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer has now listed another 100 drugs this week they have effectively raised the price on, a second round of increases for the company this year. Overall, many of the drugs have increased by over double-digit percentages this year. Financial Times first reported on this hike. Among the drugs that have seen the price hikes are Viagra, the erectile dysfunction drug, and Norvasec, the high blood pressure pill. Imagine that. Two of the highest sold pills in the country, two of them that a lot of times have to go together, because a lot of people don't realize this. When you go on these blood pressure pills, a lot of times it completely and totally messes up your libido and your ability to actually, you know, have sex. And the problem is, so then you got to go on Viagra to counteract the side effects from the blood pressure pills. Also the same thing with the cholesterol pills. So this is something that does not surprise me. These guys are incredibly predatory. They look and see what's their biggest sellers. They look to see how much the market can bear as far as with price increases, and they continue to slowly raise them up. It doesn't matter what the prices they're paying for them. Doesn't matter how cheap they are. Doesn't matter if they're actually having them made in a lab over in India. It doesn't matter at all. This is what they've continued to do, and they will continue to do so, because, as you guys know, the aspect of the pharmaceutical industry is not to keep you healthy. It is not to cure diseases. It is to keep you alive long enough to keep you on the largest amount of drugs so they can extract the largest amount of profit from you as a person. They look at you as a number. They do not look at you as a human being. It's a simple fact. I'm not trying to put anybody down that may work at a pharmaceutical company that isn't at the top and doesn't know what's going on. But this, at the top, what they look at is strictly numbers. How many patients are on X amount of this pill? How many patients are on X amount of this pill? Okay, we need to raise the price up more and see if the market can bear this price increase. Then next year, they'll look at the same amount of, see how many patients are on that exact same pill again. If it's continued to rise and the markets bear that price, they'll rise it again next year. This is how they continue to operate. This is why they make, what, over the pharmaceutical industries combined made, I think, $550 billion last year. I mean, insane amount of money, one of the biggest industries in the world now. This is why, and this is the model that they've used to work so well, and the reason being that it works is because people continue to buy the drugs, and a lot of times it's because they don't know any better. That's why here at Health Masters, we try to give you guys the best information, the best news, and the best supplements we can physically manufacture for you to help you stay as healthy as possible, so you don't have to go on a lot of these pharmaceutical drugs that are, in most cases, are not very beneficial for you, Dad. And a lot of times they have very, very long-term side effects.
Well, this is one of the reasons I take HGH Stimulate every day. Not only does it increase human growth hormone, it increases libido. I mean, it's at the age of 62, I can see a direct correlation between that and the HGH stimulate. And if I take it every day, you think, well, wow, really? Yeah, really. And I mean, it really makes a huge difference for us keeping body fat down. It makes you much stronger in the gym, and it tastes good. And it has like a 97% reorder rate. You know, it's a phenomenal product. I mean, it's a great, great product, and we've had it for many, many years, and we love it. I mean, I take it every day. And so it's just one of those products that works. I mean, it's kind of like a natural Viagra, so to speak, but remember, Viagra is so hard on the stomach because the nitric oxide that's released from the Viagra is a really strong oxidating agent, and then it kind of ends up causing optic nerve degradation and auditory nerve degradation because you get too much of it, which makes you go blind and deaf. I mean, it's just a side effect. It's a symptom of the dog. It's a problem associated with the Viagra that they don't bother to tell you about when they give it to you. And plus, if you have problems with your heart and you start taking stuff like that, you can give yourself a heart attack on top of everything else. I mean, it's just one of the things you've got to be very, very careful with. By the way, here's another article. Lower your cholesterol, increase your risks of diabetes by up to 48%. This is an article that was published in a study that was done in the Archives of Internal Medicine, found that cholesterol-lowering drugs known as statins increase the risk of diabetes within postmenopausal women by 48%. The new study adds to a growing body of clinical evidence that statin drugs are fundamentally diabetogenic, which is not surprising considering the National Library of Medicine contains peer-reviewed, published research on over 300 other known adverse effects associated with statin drugs. The profound irony here is that most of the morbidity and mortality associated with diabetes is due to cardiovascular complications, which is directly affected by the statin drugs, which makes it worse. High blood sugar and its oxidative or glycation contribute to the damage of the blood vessels, particularly the arteries, resulting in endothelial dysfunction and associated neuropathies due to the lack of blood flow to the nerves. Now, guys, here's what else they don't tell you. They also cause cancer. As your cholesterol levels go under 200, your cancer rates go through the roof, and your risks of heart disease really aren't affected from a cost-benefit standpoint. They found that if you take statin drugs for 30 years, you may live 3 days longer. 3 days. Those are the real numbers on that. It's insane. And the sad part about it is they don't tell you that the statin drugs themselves cause arterial calcification, which is one of the side effects of, you know, hardening of the arteries and basically, you know, premature cardiac death. And this is horrible. One of the precursors. And the sad thing about all of this stuff, Austin, is the people have been made to believe the lie that these things are actually healthy for you. And we've got tens of millions of people, probably close to 100 million people, that are taking statin drugs in the United States right now because they trust their doctors. Because they trust their doctors to know. And if a doctor's got you on statin drugs and he does not have you on coenzyme Q10, you need to find another doctor. Because of what it does to the production of coenzyme Q10 for the heart. It makes the heart muscle weak, these statin drugs, because it stops coenzyme Q10 production. And guys, think about it this way. We've given you all these statistics today. High cholesterol is not associated with heart disease anyhow. Now, if you're going to sit around, and that, it's just not. Now, if you're going to go berserk on all this, and you're going to just live on an unbelievably saturated fat diet, every single meal is going to be bacon and eggs, chances are it's going to affect your heart. But reality is it's going to take a lot of that to do that. The biggest thing is the inflammation factors that are caused by it, primarily the processed sugars and the fructose and the statin drugs, which massively increase the risks of all these different types of problems. Very, very important you guys are all aware of that. By the way, guys, I want to thank you so much for listening to us this week. It's been a good week of shows. Tuesday was still my favorite day. Today's a good day, too, though. The problem is it depends on the news cycle and what we get to talk about on those days. But, guys, I want to thank you so much for listening this week. I hope you guys had a wonderful holiday. I know a lot of you have had a holiday for the entire week. You guys are awesome. You guys are like the absolute best of the best. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your supplements from us. Thank you for allowing us to do a show that's commercial-free and that we don't have a commercial every 4 to 6 minutes. I'll be honest with you, when I was doing the Power Hour for Joyce, may she rest in peace, years ago, I would get so frustrated because we'd have a really good guest on Austin, and every 6 to 8 minutes, another commercial. And I'm sitting there going, this is ridiculous. I don't even want to listen to this because you break your train of thought. So thank you for allowing Health Masters to sponsor the show and for supporting us, getting your multiple vitamins from us. If you don't get anything else from us, I got all kinds of multiples. I got chewable multiples. I've got powdered multiples. I've got all these different types of multiples for kids. All of this stuff is phenomenal, and they really work well. We have the highest quality products available. As far as I'm concerned, if I can make a better product, I would. So I want to thank you again. I had the distinct privilege again of praying for you guys again today, so thank you for that. I always love praying for you guys. And guys, have a wonderful, blessed weekend, and I will talk to you guys on Monday, and I will do the write-up right now, Austin. God bless you guys. Austin, it's yours.
Absolutely. This is the last story. I thought this was an interesting poetic justice kind of story, especially for all animal lovers that are listeners to us. If you guys saw this, an unlikely alliance of lions saved numerous endangered rhinos last weekend. At least two or maybe three suspected rhino poachers were mauled to death and eaten by lions on a South African game reserve. The rangers discovered the remains of two, possibly three people in a lion enclosure in the Sabayu Reserve near the southeast town of Kenton-on-the-Sea. A high-powered rifle and an axe were also found. There's been a rise in poaching in Africa in the recent years to feed the growing demand for rhino horns in parts of Asia. The suspect poachers supposedly entered the reserve late on Sunday night or early on Monday morning. Fox says that the unknown numbers of poachers must have wandered into the large lion pride without realizing it on the game preserve. They said, "We're not sure how many there were. There was not much left of them." So I have no fanfare for poachers whatsoever. As far as I'm concerned, that's what they deserve for going out there and illegally poaching endangered species. I mean, you got to be a pretty much low piece of you-know-what to be out there hunting endangered animals, not even hunting them, basically slaughtering them on a game preserve that's designed to keep endangered species from getting slaughtered. So I just thought that was an interesting story when I heard about that. But absolutely, guys, as Dad said, thank you for the support and giving us the ability to bring you guys a commercial-free show every day. He's absolutely right. One of the reasons why our show runs so smoothly and we can bring you guys back-to-back articles all the time is because we don't have to stop every 15 or 30 minutes for a commercial break and break everything up we're doing and start back up again. We literally go on to the next one, on to the next one, on to the next one, back and forth, and it allows us to really get a lot of info out really quickly, out as efficiently as possible, which is what we try to do here at Health Masters. If you guys need anything, healthmasters.com. The product of the week on the chelation therapy is on sale right now for over 10% off. Also, too, be sure to check out the other kits that we have on the front page of the website, including the 5-pack Vive anti-wrinkle and hair health kit. And be sure, if you need anything, you can email us or call us at 1-800-726-1834 here at healthmasters.com. I really pray that everybody has a nice, relaxed weekend. July 4th kind of fell between both weeks as a Wednesday this year, so hopefully a lot of people got to relax last weekend, and hopefully people get to relax this weekend as well and have a nice time. And we'll be staying nice and warm down here in Florida for the time being. Warm and rainy, as that's pretty much what it does down here in Florida, but it's still a great state. So we appreciate you guys. We love you. Have an awesome Friday and a great, safe weekend, and we'll talk to you again Monday, as always.